So, Stephanie, it is that time of year where the grass is green and leaves are taking on trees. Trees are taking on leaves, I should say.
Is there a fight going on?
I want to ask you a question. Of all of the Schleters, your beloved husband and children, if you could only pick one to accompany you in accomplishing yard work, one, whom would it be?
Accomplishing
yard work. One.
Hands down. with
Yeah, thank you. Come on.
With due respect.
Come on.
And love to my husband and other children, it would without question be John Paul.
Oh!
God, I'm still counting my blessings. All that you've done in my life.
Did that hurt? We just work really well together, and we kind of, you know, just have our groove going.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a very humbling and elevating new episode of Ignite Radio Live.
You are with Greg and Stephanie Schleter over these five mighty stations of Annunciation Radio for the Almighty. And before we invite you to go more deeply into this great adventure of marriage and family, let's focus on that word deeply. So you mentioned yard work.
I did.
I humbled you with my choice.
I understand that truthfully. John Paul is a butt kick in yard work. He goes at it.
His work ethic is amazing.
Indeed.
So,
not that mine isn't.
True. Listen, I can compliment
somebody.
But
he's like a get in the weeds guy and just, you know, like just go at it for sure.
Yes.
Top tier.
But also like we just have simpatico together when it comes to that kind of stuff.
I interrupted you.
Okay, you did, but that's okay. I still love you. You know, we can do all these things, which can be good things, but unless they take root, unless we get down deep there and make sure the water is going there and making sure the depth is there. It's not going to last that long.
And the roots of civilization are marriage and family. We can attend to all these incredible and ought to attend and be engaged in pro-life work and concerned for the homeless and all of that. But the future of humanity passes by way of the family. So you're just punctuating that in the garden of life, that the roots that we are about, that too few attend to, is about edifying marriage and family.
And going more deeply there in your own homes. And so we invite you to go to ilovemyfamily.us. And in particular, we want to focus you there on the Live It Gathering Guide. It, Image Trinity, JP2 said, what did he say, Greg?
Well, it's familiar so is consortio, family become what you are.
Yes, family become what you are. And what does that mean? It means to image the Trinity. It. So the Live It Gathering Guide helps to do that, helps to foster a culture in your own home of talking and praying, and is a guide to help you do that more easily. So plant that flag in the sand, especially as school is winding down. And hopefully, as we always want more time to do things, we will really make that time to dedicate to doing this together as a family or married couples or mission friendships.
I'm going to be bold here also again. I know it's difficult for me to do so, but those of you who are listening, you're tuned in because you're looking perhaps for inspiration. You're looking for a connection to God's grace being outpoured. And while words can stir up things inside of us, an attunement to God's word, and that is fecund, right? It is rich. We hear that God's word is never sent out and returned without effect. So there is something in our souls, but there's that second thing of are we cooperating? So nothing's going to happen in your marriage and home if we don't make commitments beyond Mass, which is the source and the summit. It's from where all the grace flows. Nothing is going to change for the better in our marriages and families if we're not fostering cultures of encounter. And most of us don't know how to do that. We just function. We get our kids where they need to go. Praise God. We provide food. Praise God. We take care of them for survival things. You know, that's amazing. But if we're not attending to those roots and fostering a culture where we're hearing them and looking them in the eye and listening to their hearts and observing them and asking meaningful questions and sharing with them the same, we're not really participating in our essential nature, which is of the Trinity. And that's the purpose of this Live It Gathering Guide. And that's why now I'm going to throw down the gauntlet. Are you ready? So it's great you're inspired by this message, but guess what? It does nothing. It's just seeds on fallow ground that the birds, vultures are going to come and take away if you don't make a commitment to make it happen. So I'm going to challenge you to a 7-week challenge beginning now. Decide with your spouse that you and your family are going to find 45 minutes a week to sit down and do this very easy, fun, engaging Live It Gathering guide. And I'm just going to tell you, I'm an old guy. 56. My wife just amazingly turned 54. Mother's Day also this past week was remarkable. We've lived a little bit of time on this earth. We've encountered hundreds of people. What is decisive? Are those families? Yes, anchored in the sacraments, anchored in commitment to the fundamentals of faith and prayer. Yes, yes, yes. But they gather together in a meaningful time of talking and praying. It is a decisive difference.
And as you say that, with that 7-week challenge, we are focusing more and more, I think, feeling the Lord's guidance on grandparents, whether mm-hmm. it's the fact that we're grandparents now, but just really being blessed by the wisdom of that gift in our lives, in our church, in our world. So grandparents, if you are blessed to be around your grandkids more this summer, mm-hmm. what a great thing that you can do with them, or, you know, pulling in your children or however it works, but just bestow more wisdom and show that commitment and the importance of it. So I also want to share, if I may, as you were talking about those different things, Greg, just we like to quote JP2 also, and civilization passes by way of the family, mm-hmm. right? And so this past week, too, came across another quote similarly worded, but Bishop Sheen, whom we love also, who's amazing, he says, "It is the home which decides the nation. What happens in the family will happen later in Congress, the White House, and the Supreme Court. Mm-hmm. Every country gets the kind of government it deserves." Scary. "As we live in the home, so shall the nation live."
Fabulous.
And I would dare say, and I think with he would agree, so shall the church live.
100%. So if you're hearing me right now.
I'm hearing you.
Well, I know you are. If you're hearing this right now and you're thinking, I get it. You know, I get that God made man and woman in his image and marriage and family. I get in some way that home is this place. But if something in you is resistant to the thought of making dedicated time to gather and pray, if the thought of that being more valuable than their soccer practices or any other thing, it, you know, is a struggle, makes you squirm a little bit, makes you cringe, ask the question, where is that coming from? If the heart of civilization is marriage and family by God's design, and he made us to become saints, to connect with the relationship at the heart of ritual, and we offer that tool, that's what our movement is about. I love myfamily.us. That I love that Live It Gathering Guide is a great way to do it. If something within you is saying, yeah, whatever, here we go again, and you're not attending to it, as the passage from Sheen says, we get what we deserve. If we're not going to foster the roots and make them strong, which is truly more than just an intellectual assent to truths or kind of externally kind of fulfilling the requirements of religion, it's not going to take root. When the storms come and the waves go in Matthew 7:21, the ship's going to be carried away. It's going to lose that kind of anchoring. So let me just say, I get that it's tough. I get that it's countercultural, but I'm saying God made us parents to lead, and we will stand before him one day with accountability for the atmospheres and cultures that we lead it. And by the way, I fall short. I have fallen short. We have fallen short. We're mortal, right? We have given in maybe at times, but you know, they're looking for somebody to say, I believe in this enough that as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Hey, dad is dad, mom is mom. And it's not, doesn't need to be a harsh. It isn't meant to be a harsh sort of thing. It's a, hey guys, you know, can we do this thing? I'm inviting us to do this thing. I'm asking that we do this thing Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Just trust me. Let's lean into this. Let's see what happens with it. What is it again? The Live It Gathering Guide. It's an occasion to talk and pray, to discover our very nature in the Trinity, to build those roots that are going to withstand the storms of destruction when they come. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Dear Lord Jesus, we come before you in need. You hear our hearts right now, each of us who are lifting up at this very moment. You see the struggles, you see the challenges, you see the weeds in the beautiful garden that you made our souls to be. You see, some of them are there because others have scattered that seed, some because we've allowed it to take root, some because we've planted them. And you see the anxiety or apprehensions, the discord internally as a result of this. We give you permission, God, right now to open our eyes to recognizing the beautiful flowers of faith and grace from the weeds, to distinguish those thoughts and ideas and commitments that are not of you versus those that are. And we give you permission to be the divine weeder, to get in there, Lord God, and reach your hands in and take away the debris, the stuff, the junk, the anxiety, and restore it and flood it with a joy of your kingdom, a joy of what we were made to be, temples of your Holy Spirit. May that underscore, Lord God, our existence, our next breath, this movement. We dedicate it to you. And we ask for an abundance of grace to flourish in us personally, overflowing into our families, our marriages and families, and overflowing into this world, that this prayer we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, won't be just a cliche, something we toss up, but that we become participants in building the kingdom. We say yes to you in your holy name through the intercession of our blessed mother. We pray through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So you're tuned into Ignite Read Alive with Greg and Stephanie Schleter. Our theme is Heaven Come to Earth. Powerful theme, by the way. It's a proclamation. Heaven has definitively come to earth in the person of Jesus Christ, who has conquered the chains of sin and death in his rising from the dead and his pouring forth his Holy Spirit, which we celebrate this weekend. Lord, pour forth your Spirit all the more, we say, in our hearts, minds, bodies, and souls. That has happened. That is a reality that is present to us. But there's this quality in which we are blinded, and it was maybe suggested in my prayer. We struggle with weeds, so we're still pursuing a fullness by this tug of war, right? We are in the midst of a tug of war by our own choice. We are allowing stuff, lesser things, to guide us and to rule us. So we're pursuing. So one is a proclamation, heaven come to earth. And in some sense, it is a pursuit. Lord, come to earth all the more. I give you permission. And so our program is really four major components. We want to share stories. We want to keep it real. We are parents of seven children, one in heaven. The youngest just turned 19, the oldest 26, blessed with three grandchildren, two of whom are arriving in December. And so excited to be on that journey with our blessed mother. Many things that we like to share and be very bold and candid about this journey of making our homes places of ever deepening encounters. We want to share the stories. We also want to proclaim the gospel. We want to hear the good news of Christ speaking into our lives, our hearts, and our minds. So corresponding to the Sunday readings, we will proclaim the gospel. Thirdly, we're going to address issues that define the landscape that surrounds us, the landscape of this kingdom, political, economic, social factors that are consequential, because to be faithful, to be a believer in Jesus Christ is not just this privatized me and God, I pray, I'm comfy, and let's just keep the rest of the world where it belongs. No, we're called to enter into this world as Christ did and be difference makers. And so that's what we're going to be doing tonight. And of course, the fourth thing is prayer woven throughout it all. So as far as stories are concerned, Steph, let's just lead with this past week on your magnificent birthday, which I was very delighted in. Our home was without five of our children from earlier days.
That's what you were delighted in?
Well, that may have come out that way. But, you know, to have Catherine was with us, and that was magnificent. But this particular birthday afforded us a unique kind of currency. So when we think about birthdays, right, we think of presents. This may be the first thing. Costs, little special times and moments, all of which are great. But I thought for my wife's birthday, which was May 14th, I like that, by the way, because Ephesians 5:14, easy way to remember it, wake, O sleeper, and rise from your death, and let Christ's light shine on you. So my wife turned 54 years old, and it was a gift of time.
For whatever reason in the past, mostly because of scheduling.
Demands, life, work.
Yes, and like last year it was actually Hillsdale's graduation, maybe, mm-hmm. and so different things. But this birthday truly was the great gift of just uninterrupted time together. Felt the freedom to choose different things and such. But we ended it because we knew it was going to be rainy and such. We chose a movie that we had wanted to see. It was called One Life, with Anthony Hopkins and some other phenomenal actors. But it was based on a true story. Nicholas Winton, I believe, was mm-hmm. his name.
So set in World War II, 1939, it was before Nazi Germany had really imposed its final solution, and they initiated their military move, if you will. And he was very moved as a successful stockbroker in England mm-hmm. to the plight of those in Prague, where there were many Jews. And again, at the time, Nazis just wanted to get rid of Jews, get them out of their country. They weren't about killing them. So he left literally his job. He'd work during the daytime, but he'd spend weeks at a time in Prague from March through September of 1939 to organize an incredible exodus, if you will, with the other team in very kind of spy-esque, intrepid sort of ways. True story of 669 Jewish children getting them to safety from Prague before Hitler's machine took over into England.
So yeah, so his focus, as Greg said, was on children. And so just the title obviously kind of resonates with a birthday, right? One life. And the impactful thing was not only his heroic decisions and perseverance, just amazing, but the fact that the many, many, many lives that came from his yes in that courage and perseverance. So you had said
669.
Mm-hmm. So the thousands of other lives that came from
15,000
those children who were saved and who were able to live because of his decision. Mm. So that was just a beautiful, beautiful way to kind of close out the day, if you will, very much a prayer. And of course, we were delighted amidst it. Our Catherine made us amazing, healthy, homemade ice cream. Every decision that we make, every life has an impact, but just it echoes truly into eternity.
This may dovetail somewhat with our state in life, with many in our audience who are grandparents. And many ask us, now that we are quote-unquote empty nesters, Catherine home from Hillsdale, but she'll be attending to other things this summer. We'll be out of the house mostly. They wonder, what's it like now? You know, what is it like, Greg and Stephanie? So I'll ask you, Steph, maybe some unspoken questions from audience listening right now. How's it going?
So I don't know if this is unique, but the first thing that came to mind was just a delight and the gift of this season. Absolutely love each and every one of our children, of course, and our time together, challenges and all through the years, right? Just because that's the nature of family and growing up and parenting. So many blessings, obviously overshadowing all of that, and goodness and fun and love. And so for as wonderful and as much as a gift, obviously, that those years were and have been, I'm just delighted in the gift. I joke, but it's not a joke with you, that I'm so glad I like you. Like, I genuinely enjoy spending time together.
I'm not John Paul, but I do appreciate
that.
That's true. Thank you.
But when I've shared that with other people who have asked similar questions, many of them are stunned, not that I like
Greg?
You.
Greg? Really?
No.
You're stuck with him.
That for many, they've shared, like, that's the first time they've asked, quote unquote, empty nesters. And they have been given such a positive, unequivocally positive response, which is kind of sad, you know? So just very appreciative of the sweetness of this new season that the Lord has us in. And so one, the delight in being able to focus truly on each other in unique ways now, without the immediate demands around us. So,
and that's a shift.
Yeah. So that is huge. I love, as I say the word focused, also our prayer together to be able to do it wherever. I mean, we've always prayed daily together, but without people in the kitchen clanking things, or, you know, as beautiful as it is when they join us, like, just there's something so special about that early morning time after you and I have taken our personal prayer time to come together in that way. So
I'd add to that, yes, yes, and yes. I married my best friend And we are coming up on 27 years, the first day of summer, June 21st. So, yeah, it's about a month away. But our foundation in friendship preceded and was without the shadow, not that it's a bad shadow, of romance lingering over it. We were united originally in mission, in a heart, and if you will, commitment to forming young evangelists and leading them in particular ways. And we were kind of the big brother and sister to these young adults, three different teams and all the organization that that involves. So we learned how each other worked, and we learned the complementarity of male and female. And that, I would say, in our earliest roots, we've been talking about roots here tonight, I think gave us a foundation. It taught us how to listen, which obviously we've grown with over the years, how to speak to one another, how to care for one another's souls, how to anticipate one another. And again, a life pursuit, and even with our children, as you indicated, Steph, just for our audience, you know, parenthood continues till the day they die. And in many ways, all the more consequentially, as they take on these roles of marriage and parents and their careers and how God is calling them. And, you know, others are probably also surprised that if you had to count how many times collectively our kids check in any given day, I'm going to throw a number out there, but it's got to be at least 7 or 8 collectively, 8, 9, 10 a day. Some 3 or 4 times a day. Granted, our granddaughter, just she's so full of life and 2-year-old wisdom and cuteness and all of that.
Mostly they're definitely relational check-ins and or sharing a fun story or just how's it going, you know, kind of thing. Which is so beautiful. So the challenge for me has been, as I said, uninterrupted time. Sometimes when you and I are having some special time in the evening or something, just to let them know that and still put you as the priority, unless there's a huge need, right, from someone else. And so, yeah, so even learning in our marriage that that's still an important thing. And to declare marriage first as the foundation. Yeah. And also, for as much as you are secure in my love for you and in our marriage, like I still need to be mindful of the little ways and little decisions that can, you know, put that a little or shift it a little bit in the wrong direction. So
we've also been extraordinarily blessed by so many in this community. And I'll say, like, our children continue to reach out to them and connect with them and are blessed by them, by their wisdom. You and I could name right now probably 40 people who they have been blessed by their witness and their, you know, their engagement. And I, honestly, to those of you who are listening, you may not have an engaged community of people around you who know your children by name, who know their strengths and weaknesses, who reach in and connect with them, whom your children in turn reach out to them. But this is God's vision for holy community. We go back to our incredible weekend with Father Ricardo, the leadership immersive. Key word, God wants friendship. Above everything else, he wants friendship with and in himself. So if we're partaking of this most intimate moment of Holy Eucharist, Holy Communion and Sunday Mass, it naturally is expressed in opening those doors to connect meaningfully with other people. And I think we need to learn how to do that better. And by the way, that's why our movement exists. We exist to take it from, boy, we receive the Eucharist, Holy Communion. How can we facilitate holy community? We exist to help pastors and leadership teams and dioceses do this. Again, partnering with Father Ricardo with the incredible tools he has. But those who connect with this vision, which we did not create, by the way, it's God's vision for family. Those who desire that, yearn for it, again, in the hierarchy of God for a spouse, marriage, family, but in parish community, what if? Do you desire that for your parish community, that it become a community of missioned friendship, the mission of the gospel? We exist to do that, and certainly you could call us at any time to discuss many of the ways we can bring that, or send us an email, alive@massimpact.us.
So before we transition to our next little part, I was reminded, don't ask me how, but of a funny story from my birthday that I will share.
Please.
So one of our stops along the way of the Day of Presents, ENCE, was Goodwill. I love thrifting.
She is a Goodwill hunter.
Deals. And so I was checking out. I had just a few items, which I found actually for a friend that I thought would appreciate. And there was a young man who was ringing me. Is it ringing me up? Ringing me out? he was whatever the phrase is, because I hate to say checking me out because that just sounds
true.
Weird. But I was checking out and it was a young man at the cash register. How about that? And anyway, so he gave me the total and it seemed a little off, but I looked and saw that it was OK. And, you know, I rounded up whatever for the nonprofit there. And so I got to the car and I totally laughed out loud because, first of all, it was my birthday. Right. I turned 54, which I proudly claim every year. But I don't think I look older than my age.
For sure not.
And if I did, that's fine too. But he gave me the golden Buckeye discount. So
I'm a little jealous that you beat
anyway,
me to it.
It was just kind of one of those both humbling and humorous, but more so humorous moments.
So as a community radio program that reverberates throughout the world via podcast on igniteradiolive.com, you got to give a shout out to Courtney's Corner. That's the friend that you happen to see something. And this is the way community works. You weren't looking for this or thinking of it. But our beloved friend, Courtney, what is her little area thing shop?
Okay, so Courtney.
Shine some sunshine on this.
So the sunshine, because Courtney is the sunshine, actually. Greg calls it Courtney's Corner. Check it out. Vintage Grove.
Downtown
Perrysburg. And Courtney has a little area, a booth, as they call it, of the handful of vendors that are in there with just delightful stuff. So go check it out and see if you can figure out what I picked up from her from Goodwill.
So, but how neat that you were just, again, your birthday, we're spending time together, and you saw this and had a heart in mind for your friend and sent her a picture. And, hey, do you want me to pick
this
up?
Well, I have to do a shout out to Greg. I don't know where this radio program is going, Greg.
This is just so real. We're living it, Steph. This is living it.
So the Goodwill that I was at has horrific cell reception. So it's like the little thing that comes up on your phone that says SOS only or like
SOS. Does yours actually say SOS?
Yeah. So I don't know how.
Are you kidding me?
No.
Does it send up smoke signals?
Maybe.
Morse code?
So if you ever try to send a text or a picture or anything, whatever
those
the phrase
inferior
is.
Inferior Apple phones.
Hey, I had taken a picture of this to send to my friend, but I couldn't send it. And so God bless my husband. He went not only outside, but walked through the parking lot till he found a spot.
Oh, it's like the old Verizon commercial.
With my
Can
phone
you hear me now?
To be able to send it to her. So that's how much we love her.
So another shout out, spontaneous as it may be. Very grateful for Patty and Pat McNamara and Archbold Furniture. Wonderful, godly Catholic leaders in our community who do so much for so many people. And just grateful for their support of this movement and mission and helping so many people in this community, making a huge difference. And beyond that, they make us laugh. They're great storytellers. Certainly, it's so good to support people who are about great things. That's a little spontaneous, but so many people in this community, and just to convey in the Live It vision here, just what a blessing we have in this community to be shoulder to shoulder with others. So this week being Pentecost Sunday, an incredible feast day for the church. Instead of the gospel, we are going to proclaim the definitive account of this incredible event in Acts chapter 2. And as we approach this, as with the Live It gathering guide, you know, an occasion to gather to experience God's grace alive in us, I'm going to front load it with this question and then proclaim it and ask Steph to give us her thoughts. What struck you, challenged you, inspired you? What questions did it raise? For us who are looking for power in our personal lives, our marriages, our families, and our world, we can find its roots very much, of course, in the life of Christ and all of salvation history. But this defining moment punctuates the kind of power that we are pining for to make a difference in and through our lives to truly transform this entire world for Jesus Christ to build the kingdom. So, a reading from Acts. When the time for Pentecost was fulfilled, they were all in one place together. And suddenly there came from the sky a noise like a strong driving wind, and it filled the entire house in which they were. Then there appeared to them tongues as of fire, which parted and came to rest on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in different tongues, as the Spirit enabled them to proclaim. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven staying in Jerusalem. At the sound, they gathered in a large crowd, but they were confused because each one heard them speaking in his own language. They were astounded, and in amazement they asked, "Are not all these people who are speaking Galileans? Then how does each of us hear them in his native language? We are Parthians, Medes, Elamites, inhabitants of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus in Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the districts of Libya and Cyrene, as well as travelers from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, yet we hear them speaking in our own tongues of the mighty acts of God." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Steph.
What jumped out to me, what struck me, and I guess inspired me, I'm just going to pull a couple phrases. They were all together in one place. The beauty of community, right? Like they didn't all of a sudden go every their own ways and this and that, but they grew together. They were all together awaiting to see what the Lord was going to do, right? To receive what was promised and to do it together. So there's something in there. It might just be a trivial little thought in my little head.
Very big.
But the whole notion of the importance of community and what the Lord can do when we are gathered together in his name, awaiting his great power, awaiting his great promise, awaiting to be sent, you know, for clarity's sake and courage and all of those things.
Let me pause you just on that point. Not reaching them in front of their device or solitarily sitting in their own cubicle in front of a computer or digitally, but personal presence, a context of that personal presence being together, and just the challenge today for people to break out of their little silos, their little digital dungeons. That's a great phrase, isn't it? Digital dungeons, and you know, enter into meaningful, engaging, personal community where God happens.
Amen. The other phrase that struck me and inspired me was filled the entire house. Again, as we talk about home, right? What are we allowing to fill our homes with?
That's so good.
And I also went, my mind went in hearing you proclaim that, picturing Jesus in the home of whatever home he was in. Sorry, my scripture is failing me right now. But where Mary Magdalene came in and anointed him with the expensive perfumes, right? And in that passage, it speaks of that aroma, that scent, that fragrance filling the entire house. And so kind of combining those together in my mind, just again, like wanting so much that we allow our homes to be filled with a sweet scent.
Here's my question. Do we listen to the lyrics and are we rightly sensitive to that which is sinful? I might use the example of a lot of catchy music like Billy Joel's Only the Good Die Young, for instance. Grew up with that song. It's just an example for our listeners and myself. We allow this music to kind of play, but should it be welcomed in our homes? Don't waste your life with being holy is the essence of that song. It's a great jingle, right? Billy Joel, a master singer, songwriter, so much to say about him that's good. But it was really worth us asking, are we sensitive to what God is sensitive to? And do we act upon it?
Amen. Awesome. So yeah, so just the entire house, filling the entire house. And as you put forth, like what are we putting in our homes? What are we filling our homes with? And even if we look at that as the our own self, our soul is the home of the Holy Spirit, right? Are we decluttering? Are we getting rid of the junk to allow him to completely fill it with the gifts and fruits that the Lord desires to pour out, has poured out, and wants to continue to pour out? So what stands in the way of that?
We can and ought to direct our thoughts and ask, are they in alignment with God? And it may not even be sinful thoughts, but just thoughts that are not worthy. Maybe they're thoughts of fears or concerns or anxieties or gossip. I proclaim right now to all of you what Christ proclaims to us. Be free from useless anxieties, as Mass says. And he gives us authority over that in our souls to say, in the name of Jesus, I renounce these attacks, whispers, lies, influences of the enemy. I renounce the junk, the clutter, those ways of thinking. And Lord, in the cauldron, may it be burned up. And may my thoughts instead rise like incense before you. The purpose of the Psalms and the divine office of our predecessors, the Jews, and of course, holy people from the beginning of our church, praying the Psalms to fill our souls and our minds with that sense of wonder and attention to God, which, by the way, is a near preparation for eternal life. That's what we'll be doing forever. So, brothers and sisters, just conveying we are capable. We are capable of having authority over our thought world and our desire world and to order it towards Christ.
So the other thing I want to say, and I know I'm kind of going on, but the whole language thing, where the apostles spoke and all of these people from all of these different lands understood. And so I guess I think about where my mind went. You mentioned Acts 29 before, and Father Ricardo, something that they spoke of during our week there with them, again, such a gift, so grateful, was the whole language thing. You know, you had mentioned our theme this year is heaven come to earth, right? The incarnation, to make it accessible, to make it understandable. So not to take away from the incredible miracle of Pentecost, but are we something that they shared with us as a beautiful challenge was what language are we speaking to the church? What language are we speaking to the unchurch? Apostolic age was the time following the apostles, the early church, right? Where everything was spoken in a new way and that there was not a culture of
familiarity
with the gospel and the church and all of that. And then Christendom happened where it was very much permeating and everything.
Institutionalized.
Yes. In the secular world, which really wasn't secular in many ways because it was really had the elements of a Christendom. People understood, spoke the same language, if you get where I'm going
but
with this.
But taken for granted.
And we are certainly done with Christendom. All you need to do is look around or have a conversation in a store or whatever. So we are back to that apostolic age and the need to speak a different language than what we're accustomed to. And I think sometimes even though we think we're giving this beautiful exhortation, we've taken for granted that even churchgoers understand things. So what jumped out to me was, without going through all of the stuff that we were blessed with through Acts 29, just that whole idea of, Holy Spirit, speak through me a language that will allow your good news to penetrate the hearts of those who are listening.
So good.
So just that whole thing of, to understand, to come to the, and I don't, that doesn't mean water down or anything like that, but it does mean that we can't take for granted that there's any concept of Christ and what he did for us.
Beautiful.
And what he continues to do for us. So just in that realm, the challenge, so to speak, would be exactly that, to be mindful of the language that I'm speaking to bring the gospel to others.
So you've got them speaking in their own languages, but understanding in their own tongue. So I was always curious, well, what are they talking about? Like, what are they speaking? Of the mighty acts of God, the very last line, Acts 2:11. So these folks who are Jewish and non-Jewish and who knows, agnostic, atheist, at that time, you might apply that to today, something powerful overcame them, overwhelmed them, the Holy Spirit to illuminate within their deepest hearts whose they are. What I would have loved to do is see like how many who had that powerful experience, but perhaps allowed the enemy to whisper lies and dismiss it as something other than a godly phenomena. And that's a place where I think many of us find ourselves right now. We've had these incredible experiences. Think back, brothers and sisters who are listening right now, to your encounter with Christ and how the enemy may be whispering, well, that was just psychological. There was a manipulation of emotions. And oh, by the way, I don't dismiss that some of that is at play. The reality is, God, when he does pour forth his Holy Spirit, there is something distinct where he reveals himself to us and we know him and we cling to that. And it ought to transform our lives. It's an invitation to give up lesser things for greater, to surrender the rat race of accumulating or acquiring or recognition or how many likes or shares and all these things that this world values. Really, what are they worth when they're obtained? Not much. But God is offering us this incredible fellowship with him for all eternity. We're going to turn now to our consideration of consequential things happening through CatholicVote.org. Kicks out this email every day, The Loop. They're amazing stories that really highlight this landscape that we share, that we ought to be aware of, that we ought to pray about, and even more that we ought to have an occasion to advocate for if we get an opportunity to do so. Until we do that, folks, by default, Satan wins. That sounds harsh, but if we're not going to be God's presence and be informed by his heart and mind in the consequential landscape around us, the battlefield around us, if we're just going to keep the sword in the sheath by not being informed, not praying, not being engaged, Satan wins. It sounds harsh, but it's true. So the first, the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, UNC, will allocate over $2 million from Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion, DEI, initiatives to bolster the campus police. The decision comes in the wake of massive pro-Palestine protests and encampments on UNC's campus.
Great news.
100%.
Right.
Applause so to good. Those leaders. I was talking the other day with some consequential business CEOs and others, and there was kind of a shared sense that very few believe that the DEI, again, diversity, equity, and inclusion, is having a positive impact for anybody, but they've become beholden to the narrative because of a relative minority who seized the implements of power. I would argue even in Congress. We were meeting with this past week with Robert Prague, who is an extraordinary politician in the state of Ohio. He's the treasurer and likely is going to throw his hat in for governor. We will fully support him, a godly man, a very smart, sharp, engaged, five kids, wife, family, great witness, integrity. You know, he gets this. You know, he gets this reality of the degree to which good, thoughtful, wise people have had their arms twisted in advocating, quite frankly, the politics of division. And therefore, kudos to those of significant institutions such as University of North Carolina to make this decision.
The Little Stone Catholic Church in Oklahoma, whose tabernacle was spared from an RF4 tornado last week, was able to hold Mass on Sunday. The tornado did destroy the church's glass windows and front door entrance, but the tabernacle was unharmed, and miraculously, the sanctuary candle remained lit. I love those stories.
Amazing. God is still with us and revealing the power of his presence and purpose.
And I feel like they happen more and more. God's reminders to us.
Number three, during a Friday interview, Donald Trump vowed to end the Biden administration's pro-LGBTQ changes to Title IX on day one. Quote, unquote. If the former president wins re-election, Biden's changes effectively permit men in girls' and women's restrooms, locker rooms, and sports teams.
Target announced it is cutting back on the amount of Pride items it sells. The news comes a year after a massive boycott of the retail giant. The Daily Wire noted that Target, quote, told the Associated Press on Friday that only a limited number of its stores would be carrying special LGBT-themed merchandise in June, end quote. So I remember the very first time, if I can just commentate for a moment, that I went into Target, which had been just a fun kind of favorite store. Mm-hmm. So this would have been many, many years ago because we were still in Erie, PA, and I went to choose a gift off the registry of a couple that we knew who were getting married. They had been on our ministry team and such. And I went to the kiosk and you type in the names or whatever. But one of the first questions that it asked me was bridegroom, bride, bride, mm-hmm. groom, groom, which again, you spoke of desensitization before. Mm. Like that was new back then.
Striking.
Like very striking. Like now we hear that and we're like, yeah, you know, that's just reality and whatever. And yes, mm-hmm. it is reality, but that doesn't mean it shouldn't like jar us a little bit still. And I remember being so sad that was an option on a bridal registry. Mm-hmm. that I turned around and I couldn't shop there anymore, ever again.
By the way, that's being a disciple and choosing in this world, the secular human landscape, to make the right decisions for
the
kingdom.
I don't know about that, but I just knew for me personally, that was my conviction. And, you know, people could argue, well, what about this store and you shop on Amazon and they do this. And they were huge contributors to legislative things to pass anti-family laws and propaganda and all those sorts of things. So again, people could say we're not going to be able to shop anywhere. But I guess I just say, you know, see where the Lord is calling you to not shop or not support, you know, with a reasonableness.
We're going to come before God, and I fear the judgment. I fear the judgment if we are complicit in not appropriately, at least struggling with it and coming before God and discerning, how am I meant to be a Christian, even if it causes me struggle, even if it causes us to lose, dare I say, life and limb. That's the whole incredible witness of martyrs. You know, most of our first popes gave their lives for circumstances such as this.
So the boycott, though, evidently worked, right? So people who chose over the last year not to support them, and I guess I would encourage also, if you choose not to support something, let them know why.
Next item. 3 years ago, anti-Catholic leaders adopted and spread the claim that there was a mass grave at the Indian Residential School in Kamloops in British Columbia. Now, 7.9 million and at least 85 destroyed historic Catholic churches later, the Department of Crown Indigenous Relations in Canada reports that no human remains have been discovered.
So that's $7.9 million. Just to clarify that.
Yeah,
unbelievable. I remember when this story first came out, and it just seemed a little off. And it truly was anti-Catholic propaganda.
It evoked rage, you know, on the part of those who might be reasonable, which should be every Catholic, right? Because they are human and they are imperfect. So, I mean, I was okay. If this is true, I share the indignation and outrage, as I do with a pedophilia scandal, and we all ought to, in every other example. But this is a clear indication of people who chose the end in mind, and that is, how can we undermine the Catholic Church? That was the guiding vision in which they fabricated this story, which has had incredible destruction, as we just have read about this. Of course, the blood of the martyrs is the seedbed of the church, and it's circumstances such as this, as in the apostolic age, in the fourth century, when Christianity was illegal, and the penalty was death, to be a Christian, and it meant something to gather, it meant something to pray, it meant something to stand strong and tall. It creates a context where those who are Catholic in that area and other troubled spots throughout the world, where it really reveals what really matters. And it's kind of an indication or a call to us, following the story we just had about Target, what or how are we responding to a culture around us that is pressing in and challenging and depriving and threatening a Catholic view in our schools, in our businesses, in our conversations? Are we giving witness to Christ? If we were on trial for being Christian, as the statement goes, would there be evidence to convict us?
So, not to gloss over, or at risk of glossing over, the word destroyed churches. So that means that, and again, you can click on any of these stories and get the full version, or, you know, filled out more. But these were burnt to the ground, like vandalized, arson, like all the stuff. So 85 of them on a false story. But I must say, even if it was true, how is that ever okay? I don't care what had happened.
Right.
You know, like, that's not okay. And so we also need not to be desensitized to the, okay, are we stepping back?
The logic.
And looking at the logic, you know, of things.
If that premise is true, that we can base our appraisal of an entire organization on the indiscretions of a few of its members acting in a way contrary to the doctrine or dogma or ideology of that organization, name one organization that has ever existed that ought not be burned to the ground using this standard.
Or we can just come back to the old common sense adage, two wrongs don't make a right. Next story. Independent presidential candidate Robert F. Kennedy Jr. walked back his controversial statement of support for full-term abortions, Per the Washington Examiner, Kennedy said he, quote, meant that late-term abortions should be reserved for babies with major health problems that affect their viability, end quote. Kennedy wrote on X, quote, cases of purely elective late-term abortion are very upsetting, end quote. Well, as much as I like RFK Jr.,
in many ways, he's right and heroic.
That is not okay, sir. And
100%.
That's all I will say.
And it's worthy to punctuate the principle at stake. If we are truly speaking of a human person, as Bill Maher acknowledged a few weeks ago and went on to say, but we have an overpopulation problem. So wrong conclusion, Bill. Yeah, if it's a human person, we've acknowledged that. Let's come to terms with that. He agrees with that. Many do. And his conclusion is, but we have an overpopulation problem. Who decides? If we don't have categorical protection for a human person from the moment of their existence through natural death, who decides which group ought to be eliminated? And how is life in the womb not age discrimination, determining or ability discrimination? We really ought to ask these hard questions. And of course, in the midst of all of these, the answer isn't simply in the shallows on a political, social level. It's in the depths. How can we minister to, love, connect with those who are in crisis circumstances? And I repeat again to any of you who are listening, if you know anybody in such circumstances, women in an unexpected crisis, difficult pregnancy, contact us, alive@massimpact.us. We and anybody who hears this throughout the country, we will connect you with loving, caring people who will do everything they can to accompany you such that a year, 5 years, 10 years down the road, you will see an incredible life that has impacted you and that you have impacted. You'll be so grateful that you said yes. We're with you in the difficult moments. That just has to be punctuated.
Irish voters recently shot down a referendum to redefine the family and motherhood in their constitution. The results were surprising, given the left-wing tilt of Ireland in recent decades. But more surprising, the thousands of miraculous medals bearing Our Lady's image found among the ballots. Carrie Gress shares the amazing story. Greg, let's alternate this story. It's so beautiful. So again, this is by Carrie Gress. A story out of Ireland 2 months ago got little attention here across the pond, but it offers a rare ray of hope in the culture war.
As The Guardian explained back in March on the International Day of Women, the Irish voted on a proposed referendum that would have changed language in the Constitution, redefining the family, no longer founded on marriage, but based on, quote, durable relationships, unquote. It also proposed changing language about motherhood, removing reference to a, quote, mother's duties in the home, unquote, to more general language about care from family members.
Voters shot the referendum down by a wide margin, which was remarkable since many previous votes had gone the way of woke. What was unexpectedly found as the votes were counted were miraculous medals among the ballots. Ballot boxes around the country had been stuffed with the medals, including Donegal and Limerick. Donegal's local paper quipped that the, quote, yes campaigners didn't have a prayer, end quote.
The miraculous medal, also known as Our Lady of Graces, was commissioned by St. Catherine Laboureil following apparitions of the Blessed Virgin Mary in her convent in Paris, France, in 1830. It was a time of great national and international upheaval, culturally and politically, as the new atheist ideologies of socialism and later communism were gaining steam. The Blessed Mother, whom Catherine could hear approach as her white silk gown rustled, tasked the quiet nun to have the medal made and spread far and wide to combat all the world's turmoil.
Over the centuries, countless miracles have been associated with the medal, including that of the young and dashing atheist Alphonse Toby Ratisbonne, who had been given a medal by a friend and carried it in his pocket in 1842. His friend, a baron, had teased him that if the medal was just superstition, then it could do no harm to the vehemently anti-Catholic Ratisbonne. Upon entering a church in Rome to find his friend, the baron, he had a wordless apparition of Our Lady. At its end, he knew the depths of truth about the faith and went on to become not just a Catholic, but also a priest who served in the Holy Land.
But back to Ireland. Over at Spiked, a magazine, Irish writer Brendan O'Neill, a self-professed atheist, was surprisingly delighted by the news. Speaking of his own upbringing and the use of sacramentals, he wrote, quote, "I'm not a miracles kind of guy. I don't believe in God, far less his mum. And yet there was something reassuring in this revelation that old Ireland ain't dead yet. That for all the Irish elites, Turbo's smug embrace of woke of the post-Catholic, post-national, post-everything politics of permanent flux, there still exist people like my late grandmother. Anyone who grew up among the older generations of rural Ireland will be familiar with miraculous medals. You'd have one pressed into your palm before a long journey. Every new car was fitted with a medallion of St. Christopher before being taken on to the roads. Holy water was forever being rubbed on our foreheads in case we came across serpents of our own."
O'Neill continues, "A holy medal tumbling from a ballot box as the voting papers are emptied out feels like a cry from the past, the quiet roar of a forgotten people. It's as if the older Ireland that Irish people are now instructed to feel ashamed of with its strange traditions and superstitions is whispering into the political ether, we're still here."
In this month of May, unquote, by the way, in this month of May, what would happen if rather than putting miraculous medals in mailboxes, we put them in our children's backpacks, at their schools, in our neighborhoods, outside our homes, in our cars, at our playing fields, at our places of work? What would happen if we spread the graces of Our Lady around our own country, with each of us covering our own town or city?
At the very least, we know that spreading the medals Our Lady asked St. Catherine to have made for this precise purpose would not make things worse. Not only would it signal that, quote, we're still here, end quote, but more importantly, it would be a reminder that Our Lady is also still here, and she remains as anxious as ever to help her children.
All that, folks, at CatholicVote.org, The Loop, a rare occasion where we chose to read the full story. The Loop, get it in your daily mailbox. Check out our show notes. You will see a link there. We encourage you to do that. Again, they are short little tidbits of the landscape of the battlefield we face, and you can easily click on the read more. Folks, so blessed to be on this fun little journey.
That it is,
Ignite Radio Live with Greg and Stephanie Schleter. We are all about making homes places of ever deepening encounter with Jesus Christ. We're about families united in building the kingdom. We're about personal presence, the roots at the heart of artificial intelligence and all the rest. This is the consequential work that we have together to do. And by the way, it's going to challenge us personally. It's not just going to happen. The enemy doesn't want it to happen. He wants to keep us from leaning in and making our homes those kind of places. And that's why we offer this tool, this Live It Gathering Guide. A time once a week where you gather, put the flag in the sand and say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We're going to take time in a meaningful way to talk and pray, particularly based upon the gospel, where we hear Christ's voice speak to us. And we open up those doors of vulnerability and trust and really, truly connect with one another. The fancy schmancy word, intersubjective, that we connect soul to soul and learn to grow as parents and families to build that foundation. That's what we're all about here with Mass Impact.
And so one more shout out for our local listeners, Novel Blends Coffee Shop and Bookstore in Bowling Green, Ohio. There you will find the infamous author Greg Schleter's recent publication of his book, Magnificent Piglets of Pigletsville. So go buy a copy there, grab a cup of coffee, support local. Go for it.
Love it. As well as Courtney's Corner, which is at some place downtown.
Grove.
There we go.
Downtown Paris.
And Archbold Furniture, McNamara's, and there are many, many others. Go to igniteradiolive.com where you can access all of our past programs and present. Great for a road trip as a family together. going for a run, whatever you're doing, listen to our podcast. Just some incredible guests, incredible content. And while you're at it, at this time, we just ask that you please prayerfully partner with us. We are blessed by so many amazing people that cover about half of our expenses, you know, ranging from $5 a month up to much more. We're about half funded and we are very much in need at this moment. Humbly coming before you and asking that you please consider becoming a regular partner. So while you're at igniteradiolife.com or ilovemyfamily.us, click on that partner tab. And we're always delighted to answer any questions you have at any time about this program. Some may actually make it into this program. Ask us hard questions. Bring your mojo if you disagree. If you've got something to add, we want to include you. Alive@massimpact.us is the email. Alive@massimpact.us. Until next time,
God bless you.
God, I'm still counting my blessings. I can't count that high.